on blessings. Look at my life, man. That's welcome on lessons. To the first edition of the highly anticipated, highly sought after news show on UTA Radio, The Hot Seat, with my co-host here, my co-host here, next to me on the left, Micah Cole. How's it going?
Hey, it's going real well. It's been a good summer. I'm ready to get this thing rolling. I've been thinking about this all summer long. So much has happened. So,
you know, Micah, I was thinking about it the other day, and it sure seems like this has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of things happened over the summer, like from the World Cup to base, a lot of things going on in baseball. And you know what? It's all the way around the horn.
Yeah, so like you said, let's just jump right into it. Before we get into our first topic, we kind of want to recap over the summer. It's been a very eventful, jam-packed summer, from LeBron going to the Lakers, going West Coast, to France winning the World Cup, one of the best World Cups I've seen, to the baseball that's been fueling the summer for us since most sports are on the offseason. And Micah, I just kind of want to get an idea of what your favorite thing was over the summer.
For me, mine's a little bit more off the radar. And me, I'm going to go to baseball. And I know this is a little bit under the radar. And I think this particular team in particular is very, very underrated. And I'm going to go to the Atlanta Braves. This is a phenomenal team that I believe personally is way ahead of schedule. I did not expect them to make the playoffs this year, yet I did see them in contention towards the end of the season, maybe for one of those wild card spots. And one of the bright spots for the Braves has been that lineup, and obviously with the calling up of Ronald Acuña, he has been a fantastic addition to this roster.
No, they've been good.
Oh, yeah, Ronald Acuña has been really good.
They definitely have been way more better than I thought they would be. I didn't see this coming, especially from what we saw last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Last year was tough for them, but they've shown improvements over the last few seasons. I mean, and now they've gotten to a point where they can contend, and this is a team that can contend for years to come. Obviously, with players like Freddie Freeman on your side, Ronald Acuña, Ender Encarnacion, Nick Markakis, and then you obviously have guys on the pitching side like Julio Teherán, and then you have Sean Newcomb, Anibal Sanchez, and then Brandon McCartney, which is unfortunately on this 60-day DL right now. But they have a team that can put it together, doing a really good job of just piecing it together this season.
So are you a Braves fan?
I'm not going to say that. We're getting there. Yeah. I mean, this is a team that I think can contend for
You're supposed World to be a homer, Con, with the Rangers.
I am, but this is a
Switching
team
up
like.
On us.
Hey. But this is a team that's going to contend for a while. And
I see.
It's a team I look forward to. And we'll get to that later in our baseball segment.
Of course.
As we go into our contenders for this year and maybe even to future in the come.
Well, I like your baseball idea. Mine was definitely, me being such a big soccer fan, had to be the World Cup. It was one of my favorite World Cups I've seen in a while. The scores were definitely the highlight of the tournament, more so than the play, I think. We had multiple, actually the most ever, you know, extra time games in the group stage. And not, here's a cool stat that I'm not sure if you even knew, but no game in that entire World Cup ended in a 0-0 regulation draw. Everybody scored at least once in that entire tournament, each game.
That is absolutely insane.
I know.
I could have sworn there was a 0-0 somewhere.
No, not one.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
right there.
Every, at least.
Now, among all these games, was there one that stood out to you more than any other ones?
I would say for what we saw in the final, that the final for sure, because Mbappe is, that kid's going to take over the world, I think. And he's already showing signs of being better than Ronaldo, I would say. And I love Ronaldo. I'm a big Real Madrid fan. But I think this kid has something to him. He's probably going to be better than Messi. He's only 19 years old, honestly. And He can do it all, from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's definitely shown a lot of promise.
Think about it. Like, you know, he's playing on the biggest stage. He shows up in the biggest stage, wins the biggest award, and the kid's younger than us. And here we are sitting at UT Radio. So, like, think about what the stage that held on. Oh, that's insane.
And I'm 22 years old, folks, and he's already making that big bucks.
And then 1A, and then 1A would definitely be LeBron James going to the Lakers, I would say, because I'm not
honestly
the biggest LeBron fan, but
I
definitely
not
respect that. out of him. That was a big move.
I'm not exactly surprised he went to the Lakers.
Well, no, yeah.
Like, it's a little baffling, but it also makes sense because it is a big market, and, I mean, why not? You're moving to the West, which is the toughest conference in basketball, obviously. It's way tougher than the East. Yeah, like, literally in the East right now, it's literally a competition between Boston and Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now, and that's about it. I mean, who else you got?
No,
maybe
seriously.
Toronto with Kawhi now?
And it's one of the best marketing moves, I think, besides maybe Kevin Durant, which everyone hated that decision. We won't get into that, but I'm just saying that decision was a business one. This LeBron James one was a business one. And I think you're going to see that in the coming years with his new movie studio, Space Jam 2, new TV show with HBO. I think we're going to see a lot of the LeBron business savvy side, more so than the basketball play. But I think he's going to help the Lakers out a lot.
Oh, yeah, and something that I think that we tend to forget with the Kevin Durant situation is LeBron kind of did start this super team crap. He kind of did start it, and I think we all know that. He started that with Miami, the big three, with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. But, you know, we can get into that some other time. It's been a fun summer, hasn't it?
There was a lot of good sports for us this past summer, for sure, no doubt.
I know. It was a blast. Anyways, getting into our first topic here, we're going to go into college football. A week ago, we had a little situation over in Ohio State with Urban Meyer. I just kind of want to give you all a timeline of what's going on. So, way back in 2009, police in Gainesville, Florida, arrested Zach Smith, who is now was the assistant coach for Ohio State under Urban Meyer. They arrested him on suspicion of aggravated battery against his wife. And then later in 2015, Zach Smith and his wife separate. This is once he gets hired after Urban Meyer got to Ohio State, replacing Jim Tressel. And then in 2015, once again, there was another incident where Courtney Smith called the police, and we had another assault from Zach Smith. And then we flash forward to today, the present, that is, with Urban Meyer, who apparently he knew about the entire thing the entire time. And there has been reports, now there's evidence, that he tried to cover it up. And in his contract, he is...
And I believe the contract shows that he has to, if he knows of something like of this magnitude as far as sexual assault is concerned, he has to report it. Otherwise, it's a fireable offense.
Domestic assault. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Right. No, yeah. It's in his contract that he is one of the few, along with the dean and along with the president, that he has to report domestic assault or stalking, one of the two, of a student or a faculty member or a faculty member's spouse, for this instance. He has to report it if he hears about it. And one of the first things that the report came out the other day was that him and a couple of the board members got together and tried to figure out how to delete the text messages off of his phone that were there for longer than a year. And so I just kind of want to get this is such a interesting thing because we see in college football these power schools with these power coaches get away with a lot of things, do a lot of shady stuff, I would say. And I kind of just want to get your take on this whole situation because Ohio State being such a big, massive, you know, university and such a pool in the football world, you know, it's a big deal.
And no doubt, I agree with you on this particular situation. I mean, in most cases, this would be a fireable offense. He should be fired. And there's no doubt. I don't care if he's a top two coach in the league behind Nick Saban, which, you know, we'll get into that later, that argument. But as I was saying, any other coach would be fired for something like this.
Yeah, of
course. Just because he's a winning coach should not mean that you leave him out there. Because, look, he's a figure. He's a public figure that's showing out for all these kids. Like, look, you want that being your role model?
And that's a good point, actually. You know, people look up to these guys, whether it's a player or coach.
And look at it this way. In the NFL, like Aaron Hernandez situation, like you want people looking up to that?
No, of course
exactly.
not.
Exactly. So there's a fair point. And look, if Zeke can be fired, I mean fired. If Zeke can be... If Zeke can be suspended for 6 games with no legitimate evidence to prove that he was guilty, this guy should definitely be fired. Because, I mean, you have the evidence to prove it in particular situation.
And, you know, they go ahead going further into it. They suspend him for 3 games, okay?
That's a little ridiculous.
Which is interesting because the coach that he replaced at Ohio State got canned, got fired, because he hid that Braxton Miller was covering up, taking money for some tattoos, okay? And you could say they were trying to push him out the door or whatever, but nonetheless, they fired him over that. Urban Meyer gets 3 games, and 2 of those games, the first game he can't have any contact as of right now, but in the next 2 games, he can talk with the team.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's like he's
it
there.
It needs to be more extensive. Like, you got to make this at least a full season. Like, at least make him.
If you're not going to fire him, if you're not going to fire him, especially after the apology he had the other day where he kind of went at Courtney Smith for basically he felt like he blamed it on her. I mean, she blamed it on him. And he was just like, I mean, it was a very, the apology wasn't really an apology. And so after that kind of thing, you know, it's, if you're not gonna fire him, give him a year, right?
At least a year. Like, you gotta put it in his head that this can't continue. Like, obviously he didn't do anything wrong by the book, but based on his contract, he did breach it. So that's the point you're trying to get across here.
At least
put a message just like, hey, you can't do this. Like, you gotta tell us this stuff. Like, least make it known to him that you have to do the right. You have to make the right decision.
And I want to get real quick. I just got corrected that I forgot. I'm mixing my quarterbacks here, Micah. Not Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor. We're going even farther back. So, yeah, the whole situation's ridiculous. And, I mean, do you think these coaches have too much power?
Honestly, I think so. And I think another thing is, like,
because winning matters a lot, I guess, right?
It's kind of similar to the transferring thing. Like, coaches can leave and just start
immediately.
Or then players, like,
coaches can do whatever they want,
time,
you know?
Like, yeah. Exactly. But that's just an example. Obviously, that's something we'll have to get into because that is kind of ridiculous. But you're right in that sense.
I don't like it, but I guess winning matters more than anything, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But honestly, I would take a coach that will at least show true colors as opposed to this nonsense.
Of course, Micah. But anyways, when we get back, after this break, we are going to be talking more into college football, but into the preseason polls, contenders, national championship contenders, who me and Micah think could possibly be the surprise team of the year. That'll all be coming up when we get back. You're listening to The Hot Seat.
So don't go away. We got plenty coming ahead.
The Hot Seat on UTARadio.com. Y'all stay tuned. Welcome back to the Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com, coming to you from the beautiful campus of University of Texas at Arlington.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a very beautiful campus.
You know, Micah, there's certain times in every broadcaster's life where they just get so excited about what's about to happen that they sometimes forget to introduce themselves.
Oh, that's a shame. How do you forget to introduce yourself on such an important event?
I totally forgot to mention my name. I just mentioned you, so congratulations. You now have more clout than I do. But my name is Creighton Branch.
We all forget sometimes.
Quiet, Micah. My name is Creighton Branch. My co-host here once again is Micah Cole. Now you get two sides of it. Good job. But I just had to throw that in there because I totally just realized that. Oh, my God. But, you know, we're all due for one, right?
Hey, we still love you, Creighton.
You can't hit all the shots you make. I mean, you can't make all the shots you hit, right?
That's true. But, hey, you also miss all the shots that you don't take, so.
Fair point, Micah. Anyways, getting into the second segment, we're still going to be in college football. But a couple days ago, the preseason polls came out. And I kind of just want to get your take on this, Micah. How you feel about these polls. I'll read them out to you from 1 to 10.
All right.
So, number 1 is obviously Alabama. 2 is Clemson.
Go figure.
Huh. Yeah, 3 is Georgia. 4, Ohio State. 5, Washington. I mean, 5, Ohio State. 6, Washington. Oklahoma's at 7. Miami's at 8. Auburn's at 9. And then Penn State rounds out the top 10. How do you feel about those?
You know, when I'm thinking about this,
What?
It don't mean crap.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's preseason. Nobody knows anything.
You
yet.
Don't put any stock
I mean,
into this?
Obviously it shows maybe how you recruited, but like until the season starts, I'm not going to give much thought into these top 25 rankings because, I mean, there's going to be teams going in and out as the season starts up. Like it's
even the top 10?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure a couple will go in and out. Like Oklahoma, we're not sure because they just lost their star player Baker Mayfield.
I think Oklahoma's rated way too high.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right? I think that they're rated too high now. I think the top three are pretty obvious. I think those are good shots or good picks. Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia. I think that's good shots there. Anything below that, who is number four again?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I could see that. That's one of my contenders.
They bring back a lot of people.
Oh, yeah,
all the
for
time.
Sure. And last year they were a good team. I don't think we really realized that until they played Ohio State in the championship game because their schedule was weak last year. And let's just put it that way. But I think they're properly ranked based on where they should be right now. That's a good team. It's going to be really good this year.
I think Auburn should be ranked higher, honestly, too. Because they brought back a lot of people, plus the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Auburn's going to be up there, and they're going to be a contender this year to get in the college football playoff.
You buy Miami this year?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, you are?
They're another really good team out of the ACC along with Clemson.
Okay. Oh, you think they'll beat them this year?
It's going to be tough.
I'm putting you on the hot seat right now. What do you think?
Oof, I don't know.
You don't know yet? Okay, that's fine.
It's going to be interesting. I need to see both of these teams in action first before I can give a fair assessment.
That's fair. So leading into that, who are your... I'd say four or five, maybe six contenders for the year. Like, who do you think has a legitimate shot, Micah, at winning it all?
So, like, winning it all, winning it all.
Winning it all.
Okay, so here's some of my contenders right now. And Alabama and Clemson are no-brainers right now for me.
Yeah.
So like, those are obviously going to be up there. They've been there, the last 4 years?
Like, exactly,
together,
yeah.
So it's like, they're almost no-brainer. Auburn is going to be up there with that's going to be one of my contenders. Georgia.
I buy that.
Wisconsin, Miami, and the last one is Texas. I think Texas is going to be one of those big teams that kind of surprises everybody. And
Texas
they're going to have a chance. I think they're legitimately going to have a chance this year.
Texas is going to be a contender.
Yes, I really do believe that.
I like where you're going, Micah. I really do. Let me give you mine. Obviously, Alabama one would be one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Clemson would be another.
No doubt. Expected those two.
Georgia. A lot of people are high on this Washington team. That's one of the teams that I need to see to believe.
Because it seems like they're always rated up there. Like, they're always up there in the rankings.
And they don't play...
They never really live up to that expectation.
And they don't play enough ranked teams in the year. So they're the only team, which is the first game of the season, actually, the only team that's in the top 10 right now on the entire schedule this year is that Auburn matchup. So if they lose that... That might be it, right?
Now, the good news is throughout the season, some of these teams can fluctuate up and down. So maybe that'll change, but I mean, numbers show, you know, that may not, don't count on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of them might go between the top 25, but those top 10s are big ones for you. So that's a game they pretty much have to win, in my opinion.
And then my other one would be Miami. I'm really high on the Miami team. And then you're going to laugh at this one. What's my last team? Texas. Look at that.
Hey, look, we agree on something.
I know, right? I think I'll lead in this in a second, but I think this Texas team has a lot of promise this year. With that being said, what team do you think is going to be the biggest surprise this year?
And one of
biggest surprise.
Obviously, my biggest surprise team is Texas. And look, I know they're in my contenders, but that's the way that it's going to be. I think they're definitely going to make the college football playoff this year. I'm going to call it right now. On this show, the very first show, Texas is going to the college football playoff this year. I'm calling it right here, right now.
You want to know what my surprise team is?
Go ahead.
The Texas Longhorns.
What the heck?
I know.
Told you you'd like my pick.
I am so high from the recruiting process at the beginning of last season, honestly, from the end of last season. I am so high on the players that they picked up between Stearns and, you know, Bennett. I believe his name is Bennett. But all the safeties, all the linebackers, the defense is
Dude,
still...
that defense is going to be stacked
and they're
this
all,
year.
And the crazy thing is they're all... I mean, they're still all freshmen. I mean, except for... I mean, they have a lot of...
that could be good for the future,
Yeah, they have a bunch of upperclassmen coming back. But the The five-star talent is, I mean, that's it, it's all freshmen. All the returning, you know, seniors and juniors were three stars, four stars, if you will, too. And I'm really high on this defense. I think it's going to be even stronger. We had a top 10 defense last year. I think it's going to be even stronger than last year's. I believe in the offense more because it's funny. If you didn't know, you might not know this, but this is the first time since Mack Brown's era ended that a team is coming into the season with the same offensive staff as they were the season before.
Oh, wow.
That's how much it's changed.
But you also have a great coach in Tom Herman.
Oh, exactly.
And he's a great coach, and he showed that with Houston.
Yeah, and exactly. So yeah.
That's why he's with Texas
and
now,
Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why he's with Texas now, because he's proven himself, even at Houston. He had that 12-1 season before he went to Texas.
Yeah.
So you have to remember that.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Todd Orlando being the defensive coordinator, I think there's a reason he's getting paid almost as much as a head coach. And he's getting paid more than some head coaches out there. He changed the defense literally in a year with the same players that Charlie Strong had. And so now that they got their guys in, I have them here with me now, Caden Stearns, BJ Foster, and then Overshawn, who they actually switched from a linebacker to safety at the beginning of camp. So, I mean, these guys are going to be, these are just the freshmen, not to mention PJ Locke that's coming back, Chris Boyd. I mean, they're stacked on that side. And I think Sam Ellinger is going to be, he's not going to be the next Colt McCoy. That's not going to happen. You know, he's going to be the next Vince Young. We got to stop looking for that right now. Maybe Cameron Rising is that answer. I don't know. He's probably not going to play this year, but Sam Ellinger is going to definitely improve. There's a reason he got the start for the Maryland game. I'm excited to see what he's got. You know, he did really good as a freshman being thrown in the fire, especially at the USC game. Even though he made mistakes, the USC game, Oklahoma State game, I thought he did fantastic as an 18-year-old.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And so I think this team is also going to get into the playoff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so I'm really excited about it.
This is a really good team. It is well coached, and this is the first time since the Mack Brown era I've actually felt good about a Texas team. At least.
Likewise.
Yeah, for sure.
And so what game, going into this weekend, with that being said, what game are you most excited for?
Honestly, I have two.
Okay.
And obviously the Texas-Maryland game, because last year, you know, we know how that went. I mean, that was a little bit wild, but I think the Texas is looking for some revenge. And the second one is Washington and Auburn this week. Because, I mean, obviously for Washington, this is a huge game. This is all, as you mentioned before, this is their only top 10 team on the schedule right now. So this is a game I think they have to win. Auburn will have plenty of opportunities, especially in conference play, with Alabama and teams like that, Mississippi State, Texas A&M. They'll have their opportunities against some big, high-profile squads.
Yeah. My favorite game going into this season, I mean, this, sorry, weekend, is also the Washington and Auburn game. You got to stop copying me, Carl.
I mean, to be fair, I did go first.
You looking at my notes?
No. I'm definitely not looking at your notes.
I think with what's riding on this game already for Washington, this is the first game they haven't even played a game yet. And they're already if they lose that game, it should be over. I mean, unless Washington State comes out of the blue again.
A lot of wild stuff will happen.
Yeah, and it's a top 10 team with Mike Leach again, you know, things like that. Other than that, I mean, I can't see a team that's going to help them get in if they lose. But the Auburn side of it is really intriguing because
they could lose this game and they'll still be okay. They'll still have their path set for them. They have plenty of games on the schedule that they can still come back out of.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think what they have at quarterback and on the line is insane. And I mean, the whole defense really, but the line is crazy. And they finally, I want to get back to that quarterback, is that with Stidham, they finally found one. That was the issue, was that they had all the pieces. Either it was Kerryon Johnson a couple years ago, Trey Mason at the running back. That's really what they don't have now. But, you know, those guys, and then they would have wide receivers here and there. They'd have the defense, but they didn't have a quarterback. And so that was always the issue. But now they have that. And so I'm excited to see what they can do. Can they go and beat Nick Saban again?
Hey, it's very, very possible.
Right?
This is a team that went in there last year and beat the number one team 2 weeks in a row.
And so every, and especially with the playoff, you know, every top 10 matchup is crucial because strength of schedule is a big factor, as we know.
And Auburn definitely, I think you could have made an argument despite their loss in the championship. I mean, they had so many big wins last year that maybe they could have been in, but the biggest factor is they had three losses, and had they won that conference championship, you definitely put them in, especially that would be beating a number one team 2 weeks in a row and then the number seven team in the conference championship.
Yeah, I almost picked them to be my surprise team before Texas. I mean, because I picked them last year to win the whole thing. I really thought they had it in them.
And they very well could this year. I mean, that's a very good squad that's well stacked and well coached as well. So
it's going to be an exciting year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know.
Wish we could keep talking about this, but
I know we got to get up. We got to get to break. We got so much more to cover. We got to get into break, guys.
Track of time over here,
right? Coming into the next segment, we are going to talk about call them the dreaded Cowboys or the hopeful Cowboys, whatever they are.
Oh no,
they're a little bit of a mess, aren't they?
Right now, they are a very big.
It's not looking good, and we will get all into that when we return. You're listening to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. It's going by fast, isn't it, Micah?
Oh my gosh, we're losing track of time.
No kidding, right?
It's going by so quickly, I almost forgot we started.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the next segment. How would you say?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, perfect.
We have a disaster to talk about, so unfortunately.
Is that what you call it?
Honestly, at the moment, based on Sunday night's football game, yes, it is a big disaster.
All right, well.
And it's unfolding quickly.
That was a little preview of that. The Cowboys have started their preseason. We are three games in, soon to be four, after they play the Houston Texans. And we actually haven't won a game yet. We first played San Francisco.
Can I give a little fact here for a second?
Go for it.
Teams that have started or went 0-4 in the preseason have never gone to the Super Bowl.
The Cleveland Browns go 0-4 last year?
No, they went 4-0 last year.
Okay, I just wanted
but
to see.
But they didn't win a single game. The reverse fact is the true. The only two teams that go 4-0 in and 16, I should say, in the regular season went 4-0 in the preseason. So that tells you how much that means.
Yeah, and so we played the 49ers first, and we lost 24-21. Then we went ahead and played Cincinnati the next week, and we lost that game 21-13. And then the Sunday night nightmare, if you will.
Oh my gosh. 27-3
with the Arizona
Good
Cardinals.
Gosh. Like,
so
our backup quarterback situation is just a mess.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to think after these three games. I know you probably don't put a lot into the preseason, right?
Normally I don't, but I'm a little bit concerned because I mean, obviously now part of it has to do with the offensive line. We have a couple offensive linemen that are hurt and one with a disease. I mean, obviously it does not help your case. While it is the preseason, I'm still concerned at what I'm seeing from these backup quarterbacks. Now, so far in this preseason, I've noticed from obviously the first line guys like Dak and Zeke and our main people, it's been okay. Like they've been able to hold the line. But once you see these second stringers and third stringers go in there, it makes you really concerned. So if there's injuries, oh boy, it's going to be really bad. And
the quarterback situation, I was telling you this the other day, actually. I'm just going to say
it. You actually were.
I'm gonna say,
I remember
I'm,
the conversation.
I'm going to say it now while we're on the air. It's gotten to the point. I'm not the biggest Tony Romo fan. Actually, I'm not almost a fan at all. But it has gotten to the point where, Micah, I would be okay if they brought Tony Romo back from the CBS booth, the web.com tour, and they put him back on the football team
so
to play a backup quarterback.
Someone comes to their senses.
It has gotten that bad. That's not my senses. It's gotten that bad.
Oh, yeah, it really
Between,
has.
You know, they want to put stock into Cooper Rush, and he's not it.
No, I really
and
don't.
And the White quarterback, quarterback, last name White, literally, you know, he's not he's not worth of anything either.
I don't think so either, man. I mean, it's looking pretty rough. I know that the preseason doesn't mean anything at all, and there's no significance, but we haven't seen really much from either of these two. Maybe a little bit from Cooper Rush the first game, but mm-hmm. that was really it. Like, we haven't seen much since.
Do you know how many turnovers we had the other day?
I think he was like 4, 5, 6.
In the Arizona game?
Yeah.
It was 8.
It was 8 turnovers?
8.
What the heck happened?
I know. And, you know.
What is this, Madden?
Right? These quarterbacks, I'll get to the rest of the team later, but I just saw this, and it just made me upset. If you're an NFL quarterback, you should not lead the pass with your eyes. What NFL? You're playing pro football, for crying out loud. You shouldn't. That's why Patrick Peterson was having a day the other day with all the interceptions.
Oh, my gosh.
And the rest of the Cardinals' defense. It was because Cooper Rush, when he throws the ball to the receiver, he's looking right at him the minute the ball gets snapped. I could read that.
Well, yeah, exactly. I get your point. But just a little bit of defense. Just hear me out for a second.
For Cooper Rush?
As I said, the offensive line obviously can factor into that. And I feel like that might have something to... Now, it's not all the offensive line. You can't blame it all on them. But as I said...
The offensive line doesn't throw the footballs.
Exactly. But, like, whenever you're getting rushed... Like, Cooper Rush, getting rushed. You see what I did there? But as I said, like, whenever you're getting rushed, obviously you have less time to throw and you have less time to think. So you make dumb decisions. I know you're... Don't be mad at me for this.
I'm looking at Micah with the face of... what are you going to say about Tony Romo?
Tony Romo could make plays under pressure. Like, I know, like, it was a high... Like, he took some unnecessary risks, but a lot of the times it worked.
But I don't want I don't want Tony Romo back as a starting quarterback. Dak's fine. If Dak goes down,
Dak
we're done for. Exactly. It'll turn into the situation when Tony Romo went down. And we had all those guys between Brandon Weeden and all these the other two, and we went, we lost almost every game they played in.
And Dak
except
has
for
even
one.
Learned from Romo. So think if you could bring him in as even a coach, and then he can kind of be a backup.
I mean, clearly they're not going to bring him in, but it has gotten that bad that I have officially conceded with the Tony Romo issue. You know, I never thought I'd say it, but come back, Tony Romo.
Please.
Because if that goes down, because Zeke can only do so much, right?
Exactly. Now, literally, Tony Romo did so much for this organization. He's one of the best quarterbacks in this organization's history if you take out championships, at least stats-wise. So it would make sense for him to come back. And look, in the latter stages of his career, he was having some of his best years, and obviously 2014... The no catch thing. I still think it was a catch, but
it was
that was his best.
It was ruled a catch.
Oh yeah, later.
Yeah,
when it was too late.
I know, but nonetheless, it
was
ruled a catch.
It was ruled a catch.
So us Cowboys fans can talk that it was a catch.
Oh yeah. So Tony Romo had his best season in 2014, and I think you can say that's true.
Yeah,
one of his best seasons. He had 32 touchdowns to what, 9 interceptions. I mean,
of course,
that was one of his best seasons. Uh-huh. He had a decent defense that put it together. Now, obviously, that's helped by the offense keeping them off the field.
We'll get to the defense here in a bit. Keep going.
Obviously, Tony Romo can do things that Dak cannot yet. But Dak can develop those things. I really believe that. And obviously, he's still a very young quarterback. He has had one really good year as a rookie. And then he had the obvious sophomore slump. But was it really that bad?
It wasn't.
It was not that bad.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't call it a sophomore slump. Only because so many other things went wrong on that team. That it was almost impossible for him to dive.
He got
thrive.
Sacked 6 times by the same person.
They leave that. Thank you, Chaz Green. Yeah, and that nice. And
oh,
you know,
my gosh, that goes to show how bad our second line is.
Right, and so Carson Wentz on the other side for the Philadelphia Eagles. They were talking about how you know he had a fantastic sophomore year because he's kind of the guy that is compared with Dak now.
Oh yeah,
coming.
It's going to be an interesting debate for a long time.
He had a great year, but. You know, I say the same thing is like, well, nothing went wrong for the Eagles. You know, he had everything. Like Dak had.
And even Nick Foles, like whenever he had to come in and
replace. That's where you saw it, that Nick Foles.
To be fair, in Nick Foles' defense, he did play. You still have to play the part, but you had all the pieces still. You had the good defense. You had the offensive weapons, and you had all these things. So that obviously that helped him, but you still had to play the part. So I'll give him credit when it's due. Because it's tough to win in the postseason as it is. So,
and you know, I'm just afraid that if Dak goes down, like that's the end of the season. What if Dak goes down in week, I don't know, 3, 4?
Yikes!
I mean, he's not as you know Tony Romo.
Especially if you're only at a 500 record.
Right. I don't want to give the example that Tony Romo, you know, because he was much more fragile than Dak was. But you never know with football; it's the most brutal sport in the world. Easy, right?
Yes.
And so
I agree
any given play, any given Sunday, Dak Prescott can go down. What do we do after that? That's almost like we have to book in the season. That's it, right?
That's what we all thought with Romo, though, whenever he went down in 2015.
When Dak came in?
Yeah, and then Dak came in. Well, wait.
That was right. No, but...
No, it was 2017.
Yeah, but...
Whenever Dak came in. 2015 was...
But think about
Brandon
the time
Whedon
before that,
in,
when Dak was still in college.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony Romo went down. What happened then? The year after we went 12-4.
Yikes.
The catcher. The year, yeah, exactly. See?
So like, you I don't had Brandon Whedon and Matt Castle and,
and I don't,
all these really weird names.
And you know, I'm just scared that that's going to happen. And then moving on to the defense, I don't know. Like,
I mean, for
what,
me...
What does Jerry Jones see in the defense that they never draft a defensive player?
Well, the thing about the defense is they're going to be fine. I mean, they're going to be a middle-of-the-pack defense because we have such a great defensive coordinator. And he knows how to get the best out of his player. Well, let's be honest. If you had anybody else, that defense would be flat out garbage.
It's so bad.
It's that bad. But Rod Marinelli knows how to make this defense a middle of the pack defense and, with what he has.
And you know, we sit there and we watch this defense. Everyone in the world can see that they're not that good. But yet, we still waste our picks on, you know, Leighton Vander Esch. Yeah, things like our first round picks. And I just don't get that.
I don't either. We need secondary help in
absolutely.
A major way.
And we've had
last year.
And we drafted.
Think if we had a little bit better defense last year, maybe you win
absolutely.
Some of these games that you that were really tight like last year. Maybe the Eagles game doesn't go south at home. Whenever you had that 9-7 lead at halftime against Philadelphia, and then everything just went south.
And we've drafted, you know, guys in the past that were, you know, safeties, defensive backs. And we thought that they would work out, and they haven't.
And you can't expect the offense to bring up 40 points a game, like every
especially
single time.
Especially the way Dak plays.
Yeah, exactly.
With the running attack that Zeke has.
And the thing with Dallas is they like to run the football.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever they run the football and they do it effectively, they're eating up that clock, and obviously they're not going to score a whole lot. They're going to score maybe 28 points a game.
Exactly. So when a team on the other side goes and drops 45...
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be hard because we're not the air attack with Tony
Romo
anymore.
Even Tom Brady couldn't stop that, and he had a 500-yard game in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And our wide receiver situation is almost as bad as the quarterback one. And we drafted this kid out of Colorado State, Michael Gallup, and I want to believe in this kid. I really do. And he showed some flashes in the first game, but after that, I mean, it was nothing. And I don't know what to think. And, okay, what's our... You know, I don't. You know, I'm glad we got Dez off the team. But what's our next best option? You know, Cole Beasley,
pretty much.
I mean,
Cole Beasley didn't have an excellent season last year.
He's more excited about his rap career, Micah, than his football one.
Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be fair, he did have a good season last year. He made a lot of big catches, and Dez dropped a lot.
You're right. But can Cole Beasley be the number one receiver on an NFL football team?
Probably not.
No.
He's probably a two guy at best.
Two?
Maybe.
I'd go three or four.
I said at best.
At best.
On a good day.
On a good day. Okay.
But probably three is more reasonable.
I want to believe in this Gallup kid so bad, but he hasn't shown me enough. And
this is a disaster, man. There's going to be injuries this season, and that... It happens to every team. Every team has their fair share of injuries.
So with that being said, I want to know what record you see the Cowboys ending up with at the end of the year. Do you want me to give you their schedule real quick?
Honestly, I think we should wait until we go through every game for a record.
Well, give me a hot take real quick. What do you think? Just off the top of your head.
If the Cowboys can stay healthy.
Okay, I'll give you healthy.
I think they'll be fine. They'll be able to contend for a wild card spot. But man, if that goes down...
It's over.
It's over. You're looking at another 4-12 season, most likely.
I can't do another one of those, Micah.
I can't either, but that's what we're looking at if people get
hurt. We should have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I think so. I can agree with that. It's just the youth. I wouldn't say the youth hurt us, but man, that defense killed us.
I know.
And that goes to show the problems that we have on defense.
And it's one thing after another.
Yeah, Dak did everything he could to get us back in that game, and just by the heck of luck, they made the dumbest catch ever.
Exactly. So. By apparently, which we'll talk about him later, the best quarterback to ever live, which I don't think that's true. But anyways.
I mean, you can make an argument, but I don't think that's true either.
I mean, I just don't.
Maybe and Jason
Garrett,
but...
would you agree with me that this is Jason Garrett's last year?
If he can't get it together.
If he can't get it done. I think it's Super Bowl or bust, honestly.
For him, yes. But he's got to go. He
should have went 6 years ago.
He should have been gone. Yeah.
He should have never been hired, honestly.
Well, I wouldn't say he shouldn't have been hired. He did all right at first. But, man, all those 8-8 seasons and just all this
three
hope.
In a row.
We haven't won a divisional round game since he's been here.
Isn't that incredible?
We have 2 wild card wins, and that's it.
3 8-8 seasons in a row. And we lose each time.
Actually, we only had 1 wild card win, by the way.
And we lose each time to a different divisional opponent. And he's there, sitting on the sidelines,
Green Bay twice,
clapping. He's clapping every time we make a bad play. It doesn't matter. He's the greatest cheerleader in the world, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
So I say it's Super Bowl or bust for Jason Garrett. Would
for
you
Garrett,
agree?
But you know Jerry. He likes to have his puppets stick
It was
around.
Hard enough. And it was, yeah, exactly. And this is what I was talking about the other day with someone. Was that
Look, I love Jason Garrett as a person, but as a coach, he's just not that good. He was good as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and
but
I was
he's not good as a head coach.
I was talking about this with someone the other day, was that it's going to have to be like a tough love with the Dez situation again, where, you know, Jerry didn't want to give up Dez, but it came to the point where it was like, okay, you have to give up Dez. You have to cut him.
And that was the same way with Romo, unfortunately.
Exactly. And it's going to have to happen with Jason Garrett.
You could not come up with a reasonable excuse to keep Romo.
It's going to have to happen to Jason Garrett, too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's going to.
This needs to be. But if knowing Jerry, I wouldn't be surprised if
he's
going
to have to swallow his pride and just say, you know what? We've got to go in a different direction.
We need a change. We need a change. And this year, I think he's going to decide it.
But I'm worried, Micah.
And look, I'm going to go a little deeper with the quarterback situation. I think this year is going to decide how I view Dak going forward as well. I mean, I know that's a little harsh for a third season, but we've seen the good and we've seen the bad. Now it's time to kind of see what kind of adjustments you're going to make to push forward. Like, give us a pitch here. This is your chance to audition for the future of the America's team.
What if our offensive line isn't as healthy as you would want them to be? Would you give Dak a pass then or no?
I'll give Dak a pass.
If the offensive line's not healthy?
Just give your best effort.
Because they're not healthy right now.
Oh, no. I know they're not healthy, but whenever they're healthy, I want to see your best stuff.
So does Dak get a pass? So Dak gets a pass.
I'll give Dak a pass for at least the first few games until everything gets sorted.
I think the situation with Ezekiel Elliott not being present this year definitely helps. That was such a big deal.
And last year, remember how well we were playing before he went out on that suspension. We just took off against the Chiefs. Things are looking up.
Exactly.
And outside of that Green Bay game, and things started looking better. We had that 3-game-1 streak. We were 5-3. Things were looking good, and then they dropped the suspension. And I think that's what cost us the season there.
It was unfortunate.
Oh, yeah,
but
I
think that with him back on the team for the entire season, I hope the entire season this year, without that looming over the entire organization.
Finally, it's out of the way.
Yeah,
without
it looming over the entire organization, it's going to be a lot more freeing for him to play. I think you're going to see
and
his
he'll
numbers
play better.
Yeah, his numbers are going to boost a lot. I think. Is this the year that you think he becomes the best quarter? I mean, the best running back in the nation. I mean, in the league.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Over Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley. Is this the year?
I think Le'Veon Bell. It'll be a close second, but Le'Veon Bell is still better running back as a whole, but. Ezekiel Elliott's getting there. He's still very young, and he has a lot of room to improve.
I think this is the year he surpasses them and becomes.
That's bold, man.
And this will probably go down as one of the, if not the best draft pick that Jerry Jones did.
No doubt.
Selected.
At first, I was a little confused by it because I mean our offense was already great, but now that DeMarco's gone, I'm glad that we have him.
I am too.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
But that is it for that segment.
Time passed by so quickly.
I know,
oh,
right?
Goodness,
but when
track.
We get back, we will be discussing local UTA sports between
all right, that's a bet.
The volleyball team that's going on right now, and we're gonna preview a little bit of the basketball schedule because it is intriguing. What'd
it
you
is
say?
Very intriguing, actually. There's a lot of big names on there, which we'll get to in just a moment.
All right. Well, y'all stay tuned. This is the Hot Seat on UTARadio.com.
When you're selling your gun online.
Welcome back to the Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. This is been a blast, hasn't it, Micah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm enjoying this.
I have had
We're enjoying ourselves so much, we forgot about commercial break almost.
Oh, is that right?
NFL segment.
I think I've been doing pretty all right. That was a good conversation that we needed to have.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I needed to get a little bit off my chest.
Yeah, Jerry Jones should listen into us, shouldn't he?
But hey, you know what? It's time for some UTA sports. How about that?
You're absolutely
something
right.
Something close to home, right here.
That's right. Go Mavs, right?
Oh, yeah. Even closer to home.
That's right.
You know,
so,
even though Arlington is right across the street.
So,
Cowboy State.
The UT Arlington Mavericks volleyball team started their season last week. And, you know, things are not looking as bright as we would have hoped. They went to Arizona to play in a little tournament.
Oh, yeah. Where and things were a little bit rough.
Yeah, but where they lost 3-1 to Arizona State in the first game. And then they came back the next day and lost 3 sets to nothing, that is, to New Mexico State. And then the last game they just played, they, tough battle, lost in a 5-setter, 3-2 to Pacific.
Yeah, it was really tight in that one.
And then
sure.
we got, next we have Air Force.
So and next we have the big tournament here in Arlington.
Exactly.
The next College game will be, Park Center, our very own home, College Park Center.
And I believe that all the games now for the UTA students are free, right?
Yes, Everything. They are now.
Good.
As
so,
a matter of fact.
So all UTA students should be there.
Whether you live on campus or off campus. So.
Y'all should go and support your team.
Oh, yeah. Let's go support. I mean, this team is going to give their best efforts. I know things didn't go exactly as planned the first weekend, but there's still big intentions. And we even went up and, well, I did. I went up and talked to the coach, and it seems like they have big intentions for this season. So
one of the best things, too, before we get into this is that the College Park Center, when it's packed, it's a lot of fun. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I've gone for some NIT games, some big games, and boy, does it get loud in there. It's wild.
I wish we could get, now that it's students are free, I mean, it's going to help a lot. But I would hope that almost every game, no matter what the sport is, that we are closest to max capacity in that thing.
Oh, yeah, no
because
doubt.
It's so loud when it gets to that point.
Whenever it gets loud, man, it's a true treat. And it's a home court advantage for the team. And UTA... even on years where things weren't exactly great for the team, mm-hmm. they were always usually good at home. And exactly. that's been a trend that they've shown over the years. I mean, in general, that's been one of the big things. And obviously having that home, think how much better they'll be if they have that home court advantage. Like, just think about that.
Exactly.
Especially with some big teams coming in this year for both college basketball, women's volleyball, men's basketball. There's a lot of big names coming in here.
Yeah, so
and there's a couple of tournaments for volleyball.
So college kids on the UTA campus or around the UTA campus, get out there and go support your Mavs is what we're trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
So
hey, it's free. So what are you doing?
It is free.
What are you doing?
So with that being said, they are 0-3 nonetheless, the volleyball team. But and they have had a bunch of service errors. That's not good. I'll give you that.
That's something that needs to get fixed.
That's a fundamental.
That's just a simple fundamental mistake.
Exactly. It's a
fixed.
Fundamental error that it shouldn't happen, honestly, in D1 a lot, but it, I mean.
You know, sometimes there's just games where you're just off your game.
But more so than
it
ever,
happens.
It's happening every game here.
Oh, yeah,
the
for sure.
The first three they've played. And so, and that's cost them a lot of points on the sets.
And you can't afford to give up points, especially against other D1 schools. I mean, whenever you do that, like, especially easy stuff, like whenever you do four stairs, I mean, you can't get those back. Like that, you're giving them free points, and you're giving them an edge.
Exactly, and like, you know
that's a momentum killer right there.
Trying to get into the tournament at the end, you know, you got to win games like that.
Oh yeah, and
the tournaments you go to out of state.
The good thing for us is it's early on in the season, and there's plenty of time to make some fixes here. Obviously,
I believe so too. And
this is a team. Well, they are kind of short as far as
that's
height
true. Their
is concerned.
Height, their height is a big issue, which
this is a team that can contend in the Sun Belt for sure. I mean, right now they're playing a lot of big-name colleges. But as the season progresses, they're going to play more towards their level of competition in the Sun Belt. And I think they have a chance to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament this year and make it to the NCAA tournament, where
really?
The big dream is,
oh,
obviously.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Oh, that's great.
And even us talking to the players, I mean, they seem pretty confident.
They seemed optimistic.
I'm sure that obviously this isn't what they want, but you know, you got to learn. And this is a team with a lot of freshmen, a lot of new players.
They're very young.
They are very, very young. So obvious. And you obviously have Michaela Wright, who's coming in, who also is a redshirt freshman as well. So this is going to be a very interesting year. I'm looking forward to seeing the improvements on to next weekend here at the College Park Center. Hopefully that'll give them a little bit of an advantage playing this weekend.
And you know what I like about them more than anything, Micah?
Go ahead.
Which I can see past the losses on this one, is that they play hard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And especially that last game, they showed some tremendous fight after a rough couple of first two games.
They don't give up. They don't throw in the towel. They play super hard to the end. You don't have to question their heart. And that's, yeah, I think that transcends way past skill, talent.
That's the Maverick pride right there.
Is that what it is?
Maverick pride. Never throw it down.
I think that transcends so far past the talent, the recruiting, the skill, whatever else you have, the height, if you will. The heart is the big thing, and that's what this team has. And so I think that's going to propel them when they get back to the College Park Center at home, play a couple home games, most likely, hopefully, win those games, get some confidence. I think the heart is going to propel them to, I don't know if a tournament bid, but they're going to improve, I think,
staff seems to be doing a good job. And look, they're going to make adjustments. They're going to do that. And it's a long season. And
you're right.
The good news for UTA is they have 13 home games on the schedule this year. And that's a lot of games. So, I mean, they're going to have a lot of time to boost up some confidence here as we continue to roll down the season.
You know, most people, like I said earlier, and so I'm looking at these sets, and, you know, they're all close, 25-17 in the first set. This is the ASU game I'm talking about. 25-17 in the first set, 25-20 in the second, 25-22 in the third, and it's like that for each game. So you can see that they fight to the very end, even if they lose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they don't give up, and that's what I like more about the team than anything.
Oh, yeah, and the game that most impressed me, even though there was a ton of errors in that second one, or sorry, that last game, was look, they were up 2-1, and they had a chance to still win, just kind of steal it from this team, despite all those errors. Look, even on their worst day, they're still right there.
Exactly.
So what does that mean, you know, going forward? I mean, you just got to make small little things. Like, this will be good for them, I think, going down the road. It's like, so they don't get too cocky. They can move forward. They can build, improve, and get better as a team and as a unit.
I'm not quite sure they'll get the bid, but I think they'll definitely improve from what they did last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No doubt. I definitely agree with that.
And then so we'll transition, sticking with UTA sports, into what I know you're super excited about. I'm super excited about.
That schedule has me
The ripping. Basketball schedule that just released a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite games on there?
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of
the non-conference schedule, that is.
Oh, my goodness. Non-conference-wise, the biggest one on there is Texas. That's back on the schedule. I love it. I love how we can get them back on the schedule. We have Gonzaga. We have Missouri, Arkansas, Northern Iowa, and Tulsa. And we have one more big one. What was it? What was the last one?
I don't know. You have the schedule. But anyways, do you think they beat Texas this year?
They could.
Again?
Maybe.
Really?
But it's going to take a lot. I mean, this is kind of a rebuild phase for UTA. But I think it's good that they're putting all these big names on the schedule, because get your name out there, get your program out there. And I think it's a good thing for the program as a whole, especially with Scott Cross setting the bar high for this school. He got 72 wins the last three seasons. That's remarkable achievement, and 20 plus win in the last three seasons as well, each of the three seasons, which only three schools have done. So, I mean, that's a phenomenal feat.
Can we beat Gonzaga? No way. Can
no,
we?
No, not
you don't
this
think
year.
So?
No.
I think we have a chance.
Yeah, you have a chance just by showing up.
Oh my gosh.
But no offense to the UTA, by the way, but that's a tough team, and it's an incredibly hard team. It's going to be incredibly tough this year. And by the way, the last team was Arkansas. No, I didn't remember.
But you know what? We have to schedule those guys.
Oh yeah, that's how you're going to get close. Better. That's how you're going to get better, and
to even get close to making a tournament, right?
I mean, outside of winning the conference tournament, yeah.
That's the only thing you can do. I mean, you have to do strength of schedule.
Oh yeah, for sure. And so that's something I'm definitely looking at.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier. How come this is now just these teams are now just coming up on the schedule after everyone's gone?
That's a very interesting question, because
it's kind of a bummer, right?
It makes me wonder, like, were these teams scared of us last year?
I'll tell you what, Texas was.
Oh, yeah.
Texas
I know
was
that
scared
for
of us
fact,
last year.
Because we called them up and they were like, nah, we were mad about y'all beating us. And I guess the new coaching change, like, oh my.
I'm excited about
here, I'm going to give you the schedule for this year, like in order. So UT Tyler, mm-hmm. and obviously our homecoming game is a big name. Northern Iowa coming here.
That'll be a revenge game. I think we'll definitely win that one.
Oh yeah, especially usually College Park Center is very revved up for our homecoming.
That one sells out basically.
That one sells out. So make sure to get your tickets early for that one, folks. Texas A&M Corpus Christi. All right, that's UC Davis. So we have four straight home games to open the season. Then things get crazy. We have Indiana, Hoosiers, Arkansas, Tulsa. And then we have another school in the UT system, UT-RGV, Missouri, North Texas, Gonzaga, Cal Poly, and Texas. That rounds up the non-conference schedule. So what's a game that stands out to you? I kind of told you like the ones for me, but like out of those big games, like which one kind of stands out to you?
To me? Easily, I mean, I don't want to say the Texas game because it's obvious, so we'll go away with that one. But I think easily the Northern Iowa game. I think that neat because...
And especially since it's here at the College Park Center.
Exactly. They're coming into our house now.
That's some revenge game for us right there, especially after the very close, tight battle last year.
It was a close game. Come and get it, is what
come
I got to say to them.
Come and get it, boys. If you think you got us, come play us again at our place.
I'm intrigued by the Gonzaga game, honestly.
That could be very interesting.
Because I'm trying to think, you know, I'm glad Gonzaga scheduled us, but I kind of see this as a thing where like Texas did the other year where they slept on us and then we caught them by surprise.
Look at this day though. Remember, a few years ago we beat St. Mary's and we beat mm-hmm. BYU twice and they're both in that conference.
See?
So maybe they're looking at us saying, "Hey, maybe you should try to beat us too."
You know, I'm very optimistic about the schedule. I'm excited about it. I'm glad that some of those teams are coming here.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be a blast. Don't you agree?
I wish we could get a few more, but, you know, you can't have everything.
So what kind of, let me ask you this, what record should we have going into the conference play that would be good enough for you that you'd say, that does well? I mean, we can live with that. What would you think?
Honestly, I think I say 9-4-ish, 10-3.
I'll give you that. That's what I was kind of going with.
9-4 sounds pretty reasonable because you have five Power 5 schools on there, and then you obviously have Tulsa on there, who's also from another respectable conference, and then Northern Iowa. So that's seven big games. If you can win three of those, I mean, you're looking pretty nice. You're sitting pretty.
I would definitely be okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. I am too.
But yeah.
And in conference play, I mean, that's going to be – the Sun Belt's always competitive. I mean,
it is. Definitely.
Like, there's – especially at UL Lafayette. Louisiana Lafayette. That's going to be very interesting this year to see if they can hold up to their end of the bar.
I'm excited. I don't know they will. I don't know if they will.
It always seems like UTA has been relatively consistent with staying up there at the top of the conference. And
absolutely.
Then there's always like another random team right there with us. So it's like, it's going to be fun to
I
find
think
out
this young
is.
Talent for us, because not a lot, I mean, you know, their names aren't very sexy at all because all our guys just left, right?
Yeah, but
I think this young talent
eventually,
exactly.
So.
I think this young talent coming in is actually going to be,
and maybe it'll help these kids
really
to
good.
Play a lot of these really good teams. Like they can get that
for
experience,
sure.
And that'll help them going forward into this 4-year journey in the UTA.
Exactly. So. I'm excited. You excited? You gonna Are you gonna be there at every game?
Oh yeah,
I know you're
just like last year.
I know you're gonna be there at every game.
I was there every game. I went 9-2 when I showed up.
Micah is the man on TV, are you not?
Oh, yeah, but, ESPN 3 guy.
But, yeah, so getting into the next segment, when we come back, we're going to be going back to college football a little bit. Nick Saban, is he the best all time?
Hey, you know what? Let's give it a minute just to give people, keep people guessing. Yeah.
All right. Y'all stay tuned. This is UTARadio.com. You're listening to The Hot Seat. Welcome back to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com.
And
how's it going? How you feeling so far?
I'm feeling so good right now. Honestly, I would do this until midnight if I could, but
I wish they'd let us be in here that long.
I know. That would be great. But
they'd kick us out if we
did
that.
I got to get home. I have a 9 a.m. tomorrow. So wait, actually, it's tomorrow Thursday?
Yes, tomorrow.
That means
Thursday.
I don't have until I have an 11 a.m.
Get
mind.
Your calendar
so
right,
good.
Micah.
We,
get your
I'm
calendar
forgetting
right.
What's up here?
I have a 9:30.
Ooh, that sucks.
Yeah, I know. And I haven't slept.
Although I am a morning person, so.
You are.
It's not that bad.
You wake up at like 5 every
day.
Yeah,
for my freaking work shifts. Hello, Michael. I know you love that. So.
But anyway,
that's a shout out to my supervisor right there.
That's beside the point. getting into college football again. Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. were favored. Get this.
Again?
Once again.
Who would have thought that?
Right? Once again to win the national championship this year by the AP polls.
I'm surprised they're even in the top one. I mean, who would have thought that, right?
Right. So, Micah, I give this question to you. Now that he is going on as possibly his sixth national championship, if it happens this year, is Nick Saban the best college football coach of all time?
Look, if we're talking about championships all day long, he is the best coach of all time. But let's take this out for a minute. Nick Saban kind of did come in at a really good time. SEC was evolving and becoming one of the best conferences, and Alabama has some of the best talent in the country. And I think you can agree to that as well.
Absolutely.
And obviously some of that has to do with him, because, I mean, he obviously had to recruit some of these guys in the tenure that he's been here. But I would say he might be a little bit overrated, just because, like, he has had, yeah, the talent's been there, he's recruited well, but it may not all be him. I mean, last year he showed points of struggle, and he's obviously expressed those. I mean, look at the A&M-Alabama game last year. A&M, in particular, did not play well a couple of weeks prior against a D2 school, Nicholas State. And then they go in to play Alabama, and they just played the craziest defensive game. What is your take on that? Like, I'm just giving a valid example here.
No, I think that's a valid point.
They showed signs of struggling.
Yeah.
He's not a perfect coach.
What I was going to get to is kind of what you're talking about, was that I can't get past, there's just a couple, you know, games that stick out to me. I'll give you just one so we don't get that far into it. But when they played Ohio State in the college football playoff, the first college football playoff, the 2015 one, was Zeke on that team?
Yes.
And
he was very much on that team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Alabama knew he was on that team, too. And they smoked that defense. And that wasn't the first time. I'm going to give you a couple more because I need to.
See, I feel like the running game is a damper on the Alabama.
But look at the next college football playoffs with Deshaun Watson at Clemson when they played him back-to-back. He didn't win the first one.
But
he almost did.
That was ridiculous.
But he shred
game.
Them there, too. He shred like, that
he
defense
shredded
up.
Shredded it up.
And he shred the next year up, too, that
See,
defense.
I so, think like, there's a theme here.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, how can Nick Saban, yes, he wins
He wins in unlikely ways. Huh?
But how can you be the best the best coach of all time? You know, when your defensive, when your, you know, your whole coaching career is based off of defense, apparently. But games like that, there's more, but those are the ones that stand out to me. That happens.
He's a winning coach, and there's no doubt about that. And he knows how to win in big games.
I still think Bear Bryant is higher than him.
But to be fair, he is in the SEC. They favor those teams in the SEC. And I'm obviously an SEC fan. But I got to be subjective here. Obviously, the SEC is there's some bias towards the SEC. Why do you think half the teams are in the top 25 poll? Overrated.
Yeah, that's why A&M went there.
Well, they're not in the top 25, but they're close.
They wish they were. Anyways.
Well, I think they're properly ranked for now. And I don't think they should be ranked right now.
But I just don't get the Nick Saban thing when you have games like that, and it's
bogus.
You can't name him the best coach of all time.
Not yet.
I mean, first one he won, I really don't want to bring it up, but the first one he won, Colt McCoy went down.
Texas wins that.
Exactly.
Texas
the
wins
quarterback,
that. Cause Colt McCoy,
the quarterback,
so
Greg McElroy, who now works for SEC Network.
As much as Texas is a rival to my A&M, Colt McCoy was one of my favorite quarterbacks in college football.
Well, I appreciate that, Micah.
No doubt. No
but
question.
Greg McElroy, who now works with the SEC Network, was the quarterback for the Alabama team. He came on last year on one of those shows and said that they would have hammered us by 40 points if Colt McCoy would have been that team. I mean, on that field still. So it's like those kind of games with the Ohio State game, with the two Clemson games, you know, like, how many of these, Johnny Manziel, okay, in 2012?
And going back to the bias of the SEC last year, while I do agree they were a top four team, were they the most deserving at the time?
They shouldn't have made it.
No, they shouldn't have, and that's correct. They did not win. See, that makes me question. 2 years in a row, you have a team that is an at-large, pretty much, in this case. You have an Ohio State first, and they won their conference. Well, they didn't win their conference championship. Penn State did, but they chose Ohio State. This past year, mm-hmm. Ohio State won their conference championship.
Exactly.
And you put in Alabama. You right? flipped the script.
I don't.
So it's like, do they value the conference championship that much?
I don't know, but
like, I know they
it's
lost
like, and it's things like that. That's
two
like,
games, but I mean, come on.
It's things like that that I'm like, how can Nick Saban be the best coach of all time?
Exactly. I feel like there's bias here because of Bama's history. I feel like that had to be a factor in the war room last year.
Exactly.
So, what do I got to say?
I don't get it, you know? And he's probably going to, I hope, you know, I don't think he will this year, but he might go on and win the sixth one. And then we're going to have the debate, I guess, because who else is going to, you know, what else, what are you going to do?
The LeBron Michael Jordan debate. Like, look, I know he's won three ships, but yeah. You can at least make an argument because things obviously evolve over time.
I won't get into this, but are you saying that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan?
Not yet.
Yeah, you better stop that.
No, I'm just saying you can make an argument. You can make an argument, but the reason I'm not going
to
say anything about that is just because I didn't see Michael Jordan play.
Well, I know,
so it's like,
but I didn't see Bear Bryant play either. But I think he's better than Nick Saban as a coach at Alabama.
That's true. I give you that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make a point.
Well, I know you're trying to make a point. But LeBron James is not better than Michael Jordan, and we're going to get out of this segment. And next, we are going to talk about some more football.
Before it becomes a disaster.
There has been some big extensions, I guess you could say, with a couple of players.
And this has happened recently. So
one happened yesterday. One happened today.
Ones. Big stuff.
Kyle, want to hear what you got to say about it when we get back? You're listening to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com.
Hello, UTA, and welcome back to UTARadio.com here on the hot seat with me and my boy Creighton Branch. So how are you feeling, Creighton, so far now?
Like, you almost had me going the last one, man.
Trust me, no, I was just trying to come up with a way to compare two different people. I wasn't saying LeBron.
Right? I hope that's all it was.
No, I promise.
Okay.
I was just saying, it's hard to compare.
That will
two
come another day.
In two different generations.
That'll come another day. You're right.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. We have plenty of things coming in for future
days. You're right. With that being said, though, speaking of who deserves to be the best and who doesn't, we had a couple of contract extensions going on the next 2 days.
Goodness.
I mean, the last two days.
Ripped by.
And
I do not think Odell should have gotten that much.
Well, let me go ahead and give you all a little preview of what the money was.
Oh, my goodness.
So, first up, we had Odell Beckham Jr. got an extension from the Giants, who now made him the highest paid receiver in the entire league. He got $95 million, and 41 of that is guaranteed. That is without a doubt the highest paid
wide receiver for
ever.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like
I can't
wow.
say the highest paid player because
no,
that
because
happened later.
Yeah,
just
because today here comes Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers signing for what I never thought would ever happen.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. They signed him
four years, 103 some odd million.
Yeah, four years, $134 million.
Oh my god.
I know.
And 103 is like guaranteed.
Exactly 103.
He's a great quarterback. He's a bad man.
He's gonna make 33 a year. 33 million a year. And so I want to get your take on this again. Did Odell deserve it?
Oh no, Odell's a good player, but he's only known for one play. Like, let's be honest, he's only known for the one catch that happened like 4 years ago.
You know,
against Dallas, I still remember that catch. It was a brilliant catch, but literally, he's known for one play.
I'm a Cowboys fan, but I don't know if that's fair to Odell.
He has been good. I won't give you I'll
because
give you
that kid. I don't like his antics.
I don't
like his off the field
stuff.
Some
of it's funny, but like
sure.
Sometimes just especially with the net, I thought that was funny.
Oh, was that? Did you think that was funny?
Yeah, I thought it was, to an extent, but he took it too far.
It's stuff like that, Micah. That's like it's ridiculous. It's like, dude, you're 24, 25, 26 now, right?
You're at the time of this. You're a public figure now. You're a big, big athlete and that people look up to.
I
thought it was funny.
Okay.
It was taken too far.
UTA Radio, Micah thought that the net hit was funny. And so, anyways.
And then the makeup was funny. But...
Stop. You're rolling on the wrong train. I thought that, you know, he's, y'all say he's defined by one catch. That's definitely the biggest catch of his career. But
no doubt.
But I would go back to LSU. That kid was special then. And then, you know, now he gets drafted to the Giants, has the catch. After that, he's the young, he's the fastest to certain records at his age. So clearly he's really talented, but I'm with you actually on this one that I don't think he deserved the money. Why? Because I don't think
he's not entirely. I think he deserved the extension.
He deserved
an
extension.
He did not deserve to be the highest paid wide receiver.
He definitely deserved an extension. Did he? I don't think he deserved to be paid higher than Antonio Brown at all.
No.
Antonio Brown to me.
Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver in this league right
Exactly.
now.
He's the best wide receiver in the NFL.
There shouldn't even be a question about that.
And the fact that...
Now Antonio Brown's going to come up here and be like, hey, I need to get paid more now.
The fact that Odell is getting paid even a nickel higher than Antonio Brown.
It's a joke.
I don't like it.
This tells you where the world has come, right?
But, you know, the Giants, it's a win-now league. And the Giants... needed to secure Odell, or he was going to walk, I bet. I mean, he was already having issues with them, and so they had to give him what he wanted. I don't think he's worth it. And I'll give you this one. I'll tell you what really did it for me. With his off the field antics was last year, after all that talk, you know, all the talk, and then he goes to the club the night before the playoff game, and then he comes out. And he's garbage. I mean, he's just so bad. And
the entire team was bad. Like, yeah. Literally.
Because half
tried?
Of them went with Odell.
Literally, they gave up in the second half. Wasn't this the game where Aaron Rodgers threw off that random pass and got it before halftime?
Yeah.
That was one of the crazy number of times that he's done that.
But I couldn't even count how many times Odell dropped the ball. And this guy's getting, you know, this guy is now the number one paid receiver in the league.
What was that? I didn't quite catch that.
What?
What was that? I didn't quite catch that.
Oh, stop it. Anyways, you know, it's stuff like that. It's like, if you come out and you ball after a night like that, okay, we can forgive you. Don't do it again, but we can forgive you because your talent succeeds, you're off the field antics. But when they don't, we have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's the highest paid receiver, and I don't think he deserves it.
No, he doesn't. And
you know, I just... but... Okay, to my next point, does Aaron Rodgers deserve the $134 million? Look, before you start, I had to say this. I never thought I'd see a quarterback
get paid this much.
Joe Flacco was pushing it for me back a couple years ago after the Super Bowl run they had. And then, you know, you had Matt Ryan getting paid, I think it was 2 years ago, last year, the extension. And I thought that was pushing it, and now here we are with Aaron Rodgers. This is a lot of money. Does he deserve it, Micah?
It's Aaron Rodgers. Let's put it that way. But I think they went a little too far with this one. I mean, it was way too much money. I was even surprised. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He deserves to get paid, and he should. He's won a Super Bowl. He carried a team to the NFC Championship multiple times. Look, a few years ago, whenever they played Dallas, they did not have anything. And he managed to put that team in the NFC Championship.
Which was my next point, that maybe they should take that money that they give him and go spend it on some players to help him.
Honestly,
do you
think he would mind? Like, if
he shouldn't.
He shouldn't. Because then, look.
Does he want to win or does he want to get paid? Like, that's what it comes down to.
I think he wants to win, but.
Well, you can't have both.
You can't decline that money, right?
Obviously, but you know,
today's rule.
Exactly. You can't have both if you're accepting $134 million on the table. You know, that's a, you know, 33 a year. That's a big a hit on the cap.
I know it is,
and they don't have wide receivers. You know, they have promising wide receivers, but they're not. I don't think they're going to be anything special.
And the run game is
the defense
never
is getting
really
better.
Been a big thing.
No,
there,
not at all.
Except for maybe Eddie Lacy, but. They haven't really had anything.
The defense is getting better, but it's not there yet. And so I think this came down to a desperation thing because I think he was on his way out if it wasn't going to happen.
Cuz Aaron Rodgers, he's had a legendary career. He He's won a Super Bowl. He's gotten to multiple NFC championships. Honestly, I think he should have been to more Super Bowls. But he...
Well, that's the management's fault.
He's done so much for this team, but one player can only do so much. And
well, that's true.
Yeah, he's had some weapons here and there. He's had Randall Cobb. He's had Eddie Lacy, but... As I've said, I mean,
so I'll go ahead and say
he hasn't had the best offensive lines either. Huh?
It's a lot of money, but I would go ahead and say that he deserves it because of what he's dealt with. But that's a big hit on the cap, man. And I don't know. I'm afraid because of that, and they had to lock him up because he's gonna walk if you don't.
Green Bay is going to be a team that can still contend for the NFC North, but just with what they have, like...
Only because of Aaron Rodgers, though.
Yeah, only because of him. If he gets hurt, it's over. You saw that last year. He got hurt, exactly. And it was over. Like, because they had a good start. They were 4-1-1 to start the season. I think they had to draw someone in there.
I don't like it because... For the organization, that is, because...
It's a bad way to look at it.
No, well, I mean...
Look, they almost lost to the Browns. Oh. Last year.
The Browns are going to be all right, Micah, this year. Anyways,
no, I'm talking about last year.
I know, but I feel bad for the organization because they have to dish out that much money because they rely so heavy on Aaron Rodgers. He deserves it, but I think that's going to...
It's going to take a hit. Eventually, it's going to come back to bite him.
The money they gave him is going to hurt the organization as a whole.
In the long run.
Because they're trying to use these last years of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got enough years left, but I mean,
he's not what he was. Well, like, he was in his Super Bowl run, or even a few years ago, whenever they made that NFC Championship.
Yeah, it's been 8 years. I mean, he's a lot older now, and he got ranked. I don't think this is true. I mean, he got ranked the number one player in NFL today. Actually,
I think
ahead of Tom Brady. Wrong. But anyways, that's not the point. And I think that it is, I mean, that was the only way they could go, I think, but it's going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that definitely is unfortunate. And it just goes to show that a lot of these big players now, I think they're in it for the money now. I mean, it's crazy.
But
like, this is the generation. I would, but like, for me, it's about winning championships, and it's like one player isn't going to do that for you.
You going to pass up on $134 million, Micah?
I mean, look.
Are you really?
Maybe.
Oh no, you're not. No, you're not.
But I mean, I would give
$33 million a year.
I've been at this organization. Well, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I've been at this organization a long time. I'm not going to ask for a massive discount. Obviously, I'm going to want to get paid.
Oh my gosh.
Look at it this way, though. How bad would it be if you would cut it down to maybe $100 million?
Oh, so just give up a $34 million? That's a whole year salary, Micah.
Look, when you're playing for a championship, especially at his age, I know he's won a Super Bowl, but I guarantee you he could have won more if he had a better team.
Yeah,
he could have won two, maybe three.
And it's gonna hurt the organization, as I said, but as a player, I'm not going to fault him for not getting the money.
Yeah, but it also depends on
especially
what you want.
Giving up $34 million. That's insane.
But that's over the course of a four-year span.
Oh, yeah, still.
I mean, I know that's still a lot of money, but you have to think of it as...
It is a lot of money.
It also depends on what your priorities are. $25 million a year is still crazy. $25 million a year is still a ton of money.
Sure. If you say so.
Most people don't make that much in any sport. So it's like, besides maybe LeBron. And I don't think he's up to that level.
When you know what you're worth, why would you take a pay cut that big? If they've proven to
you... If you're Dirk, you do it anyway.
What about... Nothing about Dirk. The Green Bay Packers have proven to you time after time after time after time...
That Aaron Rodgers is the only thing that keeps them afloat.
Well, because Green Bay does... They're not good at picking drafts, free agents. They're just not good at getting
Aaron
Rodgers.
They're so reliant on one player.
Yeah, they're not good at getting Aaron Rodgers pieces around him to compete
for an NFC
championship. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, why on earth should I give up the money for the hopes that you're going to give me the players that you've never given me in the first place?
You got a very valid point. That's actually very valid. I didn't think of it that way.
You should have.
I should have. Yes.
I cannot believe you're going to give up $34 million.
But hey,
ladies and gentlemen, do not let Micah Cole be your financial supervisor in your entire life. Don't do it.
I hope not.
He'll walk you into bankruptcy. I mean, $34 million.
Probably, but look,
probably.
But for me personally, I'm in it for championships. On a personal note, I would be in it for championships because that's how you create your legacy, is championships. That's how people remember you.
So. Well, people are going to remember Aaron Rodgers for being the highest paid player in the history of the NFL.
With one championship.
Not his fault, right?
Maybe not completely.
Not completely. No. I'll give you, it's not, I mean, it's his fault maybe a little bit, but not completely.
But if you're thinking legacy terms, as opposed to yourself, you want to win championships. And to do that, you have to get players in there. And you can't do it by taking 30% of the salary or the yearly salary.
It hurts, but I'm not about to go and tell a player that he doesn't deserve.
No.
What he's supposed to get.
On my own note, if it was me in that situation, I'm trying to win another.
Well, I'll tell you what, the 32 NFL franchises would love to have a player like you.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, God. You're
25 million a year, though.
What?
How many people make that much a year? Not many.
Okay, but we're not talking about, he's not competing against, you know, business people. He's competing against other NFL players that are getting paid
like anyone in general would take 25 million a year.
He was getting paid less than Matt Ryan.
Oh my gosh.
He was getting paid less at one point than Joe Flacco.
Is he
better than Joe Flacco?
Yes.
Okay, then he should get paid higher than Joe Flacco.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's the only reason I can agree.
So don't tell the man that he should take a $34 million pay cut.
But even $100 million is still getting paid more than Joe Flacco.
It's right there. Oh, he's head and shoulders above Joe Flacco.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Joe Flacco,
no doubt.
Right?
Talent-wise, as they call him. Joe Flacco is an interesting, like, he's a good playoff quarterback. Like, he's not the greatest
season
quarterback.
He's an interesting playoff quarterback. I'm not going to get into this because we got to go to the next segment. But he's an interesting playoff quarterback because he's not good. That's because you don't know what you're going to get.
He's not that good. But in the playoffs, he's made it count.
Yeah, with Ray Lewis. Anyways, that's all we have. We got to get out of this segment before you get me upset. That's all we have time for this. We are going to jump into, after the break, into Kaw's favorite sport, I would think. Wouldn't you say? It's your favorite sport, the MLB?
Yes.
We're gonna get into what's happening in Oakland. Some of our World Series contenders as the regular season dies down. Y'all stay tuned. You're listening to The Hot Seat with Crates and Branch and Micah Cole here on UTARadio.com.
All right. Welcome back to UTARadio.com, a.k.a. The Hot Seat. Is in the house. So how is it going, Creighton? We only have a little bit more time, but we still got some more to cover.
Yeah, you're on the hot seat.
Oh, I really am right now, based on the look on your face.
Yeah, no kidding. You know,
hey, the point of the show is to argue. So
it's to debate because you say things like Aaron Rodgers should give up $34 million, but we're not going to get back into that.
Let's
talk
some baseball here.
I agree. So
let's get into the beautiful sport of baseball. America's
started off with this call.
Started. All right, so plenty of things to go on. Obviously, there's been many good teams, but
great storylines.
Very fantastic storyline. And one of the storylines I want to get to is let's head over to the little AL West, the American League West, fantastic West. How about that? This season. I don't think anybody expected Oakland to be as good as they've been. I mean, they started about how I would have expected them to, but dang, did they get hot. My goodness, Creighton. Where did they come from?
I didn't see it coming.
Nobody did.
But I enjoyed it.
Nobody saw Oakland coming this year. I did not. Look, there was a surprise team this year that I knew was going to come, and I could not figure out who that fifth team would be this year in the playoff. And you know what? It looks like right now it's going to be Oakland. I don't know why I didn't think about Seattle. They're up there, but man, I did not see Oakland coming at all.
I don't believe in Seattle like most people do.
I mean, Seattle's a good team.
They're wishy-washy.
They're 20 games over 500. Yeah. But
they're wishy-washy.
That's unfortunate.
They're streaky.
That just tells you how rough it is. That's how it tells you how hard it is to make the playoffs in the American League this year.
With the season winding down, do you think they win the AL West?
Boy, you know,
over Houston?
The way that they've been playing, and with Houston having some injury issues, I wouldn't doubt it. I think Oakland could win this American League West. I really do. I think they have a good shot to do it.
I would love that for the city of Oakland, what they've gone through.
Boy, that would be scary for Boston, though. Because if they have to play Houston in the ALDS, boy, that could get very, very, that could get beefy.
Unless Houston's not healthy.
That's true. But still,
even then, are they expected to be healthy?
I would imagine by then they'll be healthy, but
Altuve changes the whole perspective of any team he's playing against,
yes,
right?
Look, whenever they played Texas, they didn't have Jose Altuve or Springer. And obviously that changed everything. Like, they could not get anything going offensively at all. Like,
but what,
we kicked their butts in that series.
Oh, absolutely. But what Oakland has gone through with, just in the past couple of years, with, you know, the Raiders announcing that they're going to leave to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, at the start of the new year, when the NBA season comes into the new year, the Warriors will no longer be in Oakland either. They're going to San Francisco into the Chase Center.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And so now
that's kind of unfortunate.
I know. So it's almost to the point where Oakland
is just getting thrown under the bus.
They don't have anybody but the A's anymore. So it's almost like they deserve it.
Yeah. And look, this is a team that is on and off, it seems like, every other year. And I don't know why I always, like, exclude them. But remember, they're not that far removed from winning back-to-back ALS championships. And this is a team that's been on before, and it's nothing we haven't seen. It is surprising. I shouldn't be, because Billy Beane is a great general manager.
Absolutely.
He's one of the best in the business.
We were having this discussion earlier. I kind of want to throw it on this show because it is, I think most people know about this. It's a very interesting way to look at things. But, the Moneyball philosophy with the averages of players and everything, will that ever be able to win a World Series title? Or even compete in the playoffs, for that matter? Because we've seen it easily can win you enough regular seasons to get you in the playoffs over the course of a 162-game season, right?
And look, right, even right now, look at that philosophy may be in play right now. Because look, a lot of these players, there's not one player that's hitting over 280 in the starting lineup for Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, all of them have OBPs that are like over 300 right now. But that shows you.
So you're seeing it right there.
They're getting walked. And they're right here in front of me. I have the stats right in front of me.
Yeah,
so many walks.
That's it right there. That is the Moneyball aspect. So do they?
This is the Moneyball game right now.
Is this? Can they win a World Series title or even get to maybe, let's say, an ALCS off of this philosophy?
Quite possibly.
Finally?
This is a team that can contend down the road here. And look, they have everything they need. The question is, will the numbers falter whenever it counts? As it did in Moneyball.
It always
comes down to that game five.
Exactly. And I hope it doesn't.
For their sake, this is a team I want to see win the AL West and go deep in the playoffs.
And
because it is the storyline of the season.
I hope it doesn't falter, because I think the Moneyball philosophy
could work. It could work.
It could work, I think, in the right year. But I think it's a great way to get out of the traditional sense of baseball.
Exactly.
Because that's an issue with baseball. I'm not going to get into that much. We can talk about that another day. But, you know, baseball is super traditional. I think this is one really, I wouldn't say fresh, because it's, you know,
it's a fresh look.
We're going on so many, you know, 14 years of it now, 15, but it's so much fresher than the usual. Let's go check out their games. Let's, you know, check their pitch counts. Let's go check their speeds, things like that with the scouts. I think this is a really cool way to look at it. And I hope that it finally pays off, if not this year, sometime, because I hope this team can stay together, because I think Billy Beane's situation, I think it should be validated for how well it's worked, because, you know, you saw it wasn't a fluke, right? Because this has now happened more than once, and he publicly acknowledges that it is the Moneyball philosophy that he's using. And clearly, it's been more than once that he's been able to
accomplish such great feats.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you see it here. I mean,
accomplish
it's
great
all on
stats.
The numbers.
Good, I mean, or good stats for what, you know, for a whole team.
For what you have, too.
And put up, I mean.
Because, see, they don't have any really sexy names on here. I mean.
No, but that's not the point.
That's not really the point. Can you put together a winning team? And you don't have to have any all-stars to be a playoff team. You don't have to do it. And you've seen it in other sports.
And he's proven that you can win the division time and time after again with this philosophy. But I'm not quite sure that he can win a World Series. And with that being said,
because
I want to get into your World Series predictions as the season winds down,
Micah.
I know you kind of have a couple teams
you're
looking at.
I have a couple set teams here.
I want to know, what are they?
Well, obviously, let's go into
who can win the whole thing.
Let's start with the obvious. Obviously, Boston Red Sox are going to be at the top. They're the best team in baseball. They're 50 games over 500. They're actually winning 14 to, what, 5 right now, I think, that I just saw just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
Or they already did win, one of the two. So that's obviously one of my contenders. Two, New York Yankees. That, what good is it without Boston and New York, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. That's always a big rivalry right there. Hopefully we get that in the playoffs. It may just happen. So keep that on tabs, will you?
Yeah.
We may be coming back to that in October.
Is that all you
another
got?
One? Yeah. Houston. Oh, if yeah. they can get healthy, they're going to have a chance. They're one of the scariest teams on paper. They have three of the best starting pitchers. They have Dallas Keuchel. They have Justin Verlander. And they obviously have Gerrit Cole, who they acquired in the offseason from Pittsburgh. So that's, and they obviously have the lineup if healthy. And obviously, on the National League side, the Cubs are obviously going to be up there. And one of my big favorites and most underrated picks, Atlanta Braves, I believe, will have a shot to
you
win the National League.
You love those Atlanta Braves,
yes,
Micah.
I really do. I think they are a contender. The only thing that might throw them off track is their youth, and they just haven't been there before. So maybe that'll throw them off, but they'll be a contender for years to come. I'm not concerned about
them
right now.
Before I give mine, I will tell you this Atlanta team feels a little different. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'll even throw in Oakland as a contender as well, because they surprised me out of my mind. So why not?
Exactly.
Why not? Why not us, right?
Okay, so mine's a little bit more simpler than yours, Micah. I got two teams. I don't care what league we're in. I think only two teams can compete for it, and that's either Boston or New York. And I'm not even quite sure that it's actually that close anymore. I mean, New York is starting to catch up on them in the games back.
I think it's 6.5 now.
Yeah, it is.
It's starting to creep up.
It used to be.
You're surprised.
It used to be 10 plus a few weeks ago. Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even that long ago.
But I don't think it's anybody else other than those two. And I'm not quite sure Boston, even though they're on a little slump right now, I'm not quite sure they'll slow down.
Everyone has slumps in a long season, so.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But it's hard for me to see that over the course of 5-game series, 7-game series, anybody's going to be able to beat Boston for that
three
amount.
Three or four times.
Four times.
If it was three a wild card times, game, so. Maybe.
Yeah,
we have
you
a
get
conversation.
One shot. Exactly.
But one chance, anything can happen.
Yeah.
It's
but
a game
other than
seven,
that,
best
I,
thing in sports.
Well, other than that, I don't see them winning a series. I don't think anybody can go toe-to-toe with Boston 4 straight games to play their best and win.
I think
they're too talented.
I agree with you, but look, in the playoffs, things are different. Are you ready for the moment? Boston,
I think
especially
they are.
The last few years, has struggled in the playoffs.
Well,
and
I would.
They got swept. Wait, actually, no, they lost in 4 games, yeah. Excuse me, and they got swept the year before that. And look, this is a team that has struggled in the playoffs, but this is a new year. New Boston team, a really good Boston team, by the way. And they're probably going to be the top seed in the American League. They're going to have home field throughout. And they have been very, very strong at home in the playoffs, or in general this season.
Especially, absolutely.
They got David Price. They got Chris Sale. I mean, they have everything they need, really.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited to keep talking about this once the season starts to wind down and we get into the postseason. It's going to be really fun to see these teams come back. The blue bloods of baseball, to see them back into the playoffs again. It's going to be a blast. When we get back, we are into our final segment. Kyle, Micah, it's already over. Can you believe it? I know. First show down and out. When we get back, we're gonna preview real quick. We're going to do pick-ems for the college football season that starts on Saturday. So y'all stay tuned. You're listening to UTA Radio. This is The Hot Seat with Creighton Branch and Micah Cole. Welcome back to The Hot Seat with Micah Cole and Creighton Branch here. This is our last segment, Micah. We're going to go rapid fire on this.
It's our pick segments.
These are our pick segments. Every week we're going to bring you picks leading into the weekend of now college football, but later college football and NFL football. So, Micah, real quick, rapid fire. Texas versus Maryland. Who you got?
Oof, I'm going to take Texas in this one for a little revenge.
I got Texas, too. I think we're going to smack them crazy for what they did last year.
After embarrassing
us last year.
And Austin, too, last year.
Absolutely.
Next up?
Absolutely. Next up, we have SMU and UNT. I'm actually really excited about this game. Who do you think wins?
That's a big rivalry game here in North Texas. Most of y'all wouldn't know what that is, but it is a very big rivalry.
Who wins?
I'm going to take SMU on the road.
What?
Yes, I'm going to take SMU on the road at UNT.
I'm taking the UNT Mean Green.
Ooh.
I think this team coming in this year, I've been really optimistic
UNT
about them.
UNT is a very good football
program,
and it's on the rise.
I think they're
going
to be very exciting. They got a lot of returning players. I'm really excited to see what they got on the offensive side this year.
It's going
to
be entertaining, as it always is.
So next we have Boise State and Troy.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Troy has been known to be really good lately, but I'm going to go ahead and get Boise State on this one.
I'm going
I'll
Troy.
Give it to him.
I saw them in the play in the bowl last year. I was there. I liked what I saw. The offense is even crazier than UNT's, who they played, who I think is going to be one of the best mid-major offenses
in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean, Troy's obviously the best team in the Sun Belt, I think.
No doubt.
Going forward, we're going to get to some bigger games. Michigan State, Notre Dame. Who you got?
Oh,
it's a big one.
Who's at home? I think it's Notre Dame.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Notre Dame.
It is.
I'll take Notre Dame in this one.
I'm taking Michigan. I feel really good about this team this year. I think this quarterback's going to be really good.
All right.
Auburn, Washington.
Yikes. This is a big game for Washington, but I'm going to have to go Auburn. I'm just going to have to go based on
I'm going
that
Auburn,
experience.
Too. I think Auburn's going undefeated this year, honestly. I think Washington, this is going to be the end of Washington's run right off the bat.
Wow. All right.
The big game here in Jerry World down the road, LSU, Miami. Who do you have, Colin?
I'm taking Miami.
You're taking Miami?
Question.
I'm taking Miami, and I think Miami's going
to. LSU's a good team, but
yeah,
I don't see them standing up to Miami.
Now, LSU is now just a name, I think. I don't think they have the players or anything. I think they got a top 25 ranking out of respect. I think Miami is going to be another undefeated team going into the ACC championship again. I think we're going to be playing Clemson again.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Manny Diaz's defense again. It's going to be a lot of fun. I got one more for you. Alabama, Louisville.
I mean, my heart says Louisville because
your heart says
win.
Louisville. Okay,
but I'm picking Alabama because we have to be subjective.
All right, I'm picking Alabama too. I'm picking Alabama big, guys. That is all the time we have today. It has been a blast. It's been a blast, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it really has.
We've had so much fun. I know. You know, I can't. I just can't even think about the money anymore.
Now.
The money that was incredible, but. As always, the hot seat with Creighton Branch, Micah Cole. We are on air every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. here at the beautiful campus.
Make sure to join us next week. I mean, we enjoy having y'all on here. So.
At UT Austin. Yeah, as many listeners as you can. We love it. Anything else, Micah?
I think that's it for now.
Perfect.
Hey, we'll be back next week, though. Don't worry.
That's right. I'm going to go make sure that I'm going to make sure you don't have my bank account number. Yeah. Micah, you're on the hot seat. Get off of it next year. Next time, that is. Not next year. Next time.
Hey.
We'll see y'all next week. This is The Hot Seat on UTARadio.com with Micah Cole and Creighton Branch.